Well, I'll never forget when Sandy found that whole CD, and I watched it and watched it and watched it and watched it some more and kept watching it, and it'll get down in you when you watch it. Amen? I believe she knows what he's talking about this morning, is you decree a thing. You decree a thing and you put some faith on it, it's yours. Amen? Tonight, my daughters told me to warn y'all because of my outline is short. She said, when it's short, you preach long. She said, if you have a long outline, you preach short. I'm like, well, I preach when God says preach and stop when he says stop. I want to talk about something tonight that's I hadn't preached on in a while. It's grace. We talk about grace. We believe God's grace. We live in God's grace. And the Lord dropped something in my heart. He said, grace is unmerited favor, right? That's one of the definitions. I'm going to give you a show enough definition in a minute, though. But he said, grace is not only unmerited favor, but it's unlimited power. It's undenying love. Wow. Yep. Right?
Right?
It's everything that we need is wrapped up in God's grace. Because grace is where we live. Without grace, we would not be here. We are what? Saved by grace through faith. Now, there's camps out there, grace camps and faith camps. I'm right in the middle guy. You got to have grace and you got to have faith. You can't have one without the other.
Right.
Because it says, by grace are you saved, but you got to have the faith to get the grace. Right? So we're saved by grace, but it's through faith. So to get to grace, you go through faith, right? We go through faith. We use our faith. Here's the definition for grace. Strong's Concordance is favor. Pretty simple, isn't it? Favor. Look at this. It's also kindness, beauty, pleasantness, charm, attractiveness, loveliness, affectionate regard. The root of this Hebrew word is shana. It is the art of graciously or mercifully having those things towards somebody. To be compassionate, to be favorably inclined. So as God's grace is poured out on us, he is shana. It is to graciously or mercifully toward somebody, to act that way toward somebody. You act that way. So God acts that way toward us. Isn't that something? He acts toward us graciously and mercifully. The Bible says in Zechariah, we're not going to stay here. I'm just going to use it as a tipping point to the spear, right? And I will pour out of the house of David on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace. Now, if you go to Hebrews, We don't want to go there. I'm just giving you a note. Hebrews 10:29, Paul writing in Hebrews, I believe Paul wrote Hebrews, amen. He says the spirit of grace there also, talking about the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Spirit is the spirit of grace. So when we learn that and we are filled with the Holy Ghost, now I'm talking about we are baptized in grace. Now that does something to me, to find out that I was baptized in grace because I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of grace. So grace is such a gift that we've got. Grace is awesome. So I want to go to Romans chapter 5 and we'll stay there for most of the night. I should let y'all out by 10-ish or so. So I'm going to pull a Tracy Harris tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. We'll get out when God says we're done. But I do want to tell you, have y'all ever heard about the guy that went to the store and bought a bird? He wanted a bird to talk. So he goes to the pet shop and he buys a bird that can talk. The bird talks. They said, yep. So he takes the bird home. He gets the bird home. The bird ain't said a word. He goes back to the pet shop. Pet shop owner says, So the bird hadn't talked. He said, no. He said, you mean when a bird sits on its little perch and don't talk? He said, what perch? He said, oh, you got to have a perch. It's $10. He said, okay. So he bought a perch and he took it home. Little bird sat on the perch and didn't talk a lick. Goes back to the pet shop the next day. He said, the bird still hadn't talked. He said, you mean when a bird sits on its perch and looks in the mirror and don't talk? He said, what mirror? He said, oh, you got to have a mirror. He said, how much? $10. So he buys the mirrors and go home. Puts a mirror in the little bird cage, and the bird sits on the perch and swings and looks at itself in the mirror. Never says a word. So the guy goes back. It's about a week later. Bird hadn't talked a time. He said, bird still hadn't talked. He said, you mean when a bird sits on his perch and looks at itself in the mirror and it, you know, jumps from the perch to his little box thing? He said, no, I don't have the little box thing. He said, oh, you got to have that. It's $10. Pays it, goes home. 2 days later, the guy comes back to the pet shop. Guy goes, bird talk? He said, yep, finally. He said, but the bird's dead. They said, the bird's dead. He said, yeah, well, but what did it say? He said, do they not have any food at that pet shop? So tonight, we're going to get fed. So hopefully there's food in the pet shop. Amen. Amen. Hopefully there's food that we're going to have that we can receive. We come to the house of God to be fed, right? We come to be fed. So tonight you're going to be fed on grace. Therefore, chapter 5 of Romans, if you would put that, chapter 5, verse 1. If you would do it in the Amplified Classic. I've got the New King James, and I know we don't have that. Therefore, since we are justified, acquitted, declared righteous, and given a right standing with God through faith. There's that through faith, right? Let us grasp the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation to hold and to enjoy peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointing One. That is Jesus Christ. That is HaMashiach. That is the Anointed One, right? He's anointed. He's the Anointed One. He's Yeshua. Let's go to verse 2. Through Him we have our access, our entrance, our induction, our introduction, by faith into this grace. So by faith we are saved, right? Through grace, or through faith, grace we're saved. Through faith, here it is again. By faith into this grace, state of God's favor, in which we firmly and safely stand. Did you see that? We stand in grace. We stand. When the world comes against us, we stand because we're in grace. When everybody else comes against us, when your light bill is $450 for 2 months in a row, you stand in the grace of God. Yes, it was $450 twice. Never have I seen a bill over $350 till this year. But what? Guess what? We stand in the grace of God. And the money's there to pay it. Praise God. We stand in the grace of God. He said, and let us rejoice because let us do what? We rejoice in grace. Let us rejoice and exalt in our hope of expectation, enjoying the glory of God. See, church, it is time that we quit playing church and started being the church. And we started experiencing and enjoying the grace of God, the glory of God. It is time we started enjoying it. So grace is a gift. Let's go to verse 15. I'm going to skip a little. I'm not going to preach the entire chapter 5. I would like to. Because, man, Romans 5 is like phenomenal. You need to read it. But God's free gift is not at all to be compared to the trespass. His grace is out of many, all proportion to the fall of man. For if many died through one man's falling away, his lapse, his offense, much more profusely did God's grace and the free gift that comes through the undeserved favor of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound and overflow to and for the benefit of many. So grace is not only just for us, it not only saves us, but it is a gift. But God's free gift, His grace, God's free gift, it is a gift. It is something to be received. It is something to hold on to. Now, if I hand you a $10 bill, you're going to take it, right? You're going to receive it. You'll receive it. If you give me a $100 bill, I'd receive it. You notice how I swapped it, right, Jay? From 10 to 100. I give you a 10, you give me a 100 back. That's the only way I know to do it. But it's a gift. It's a gift. The New King James, I like the way it words it. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. That gift abounded to everybody. So we have to receive that gift. It's just like a Christmas gift. You have to receive it. And you receive it by how? By faith. You receive it by faith. So grace is an amazing thing. Grace is unmerited favor. It is so much more than that, though. It's so much more. It's such a gift. Verse 17, if you'll turn, go there on the screen. For if because of one man's trespass, lapse or offense, death reigned through that one. One man, that's talking about Adam. Much more surely will those who receive God's, oh, look at this, overflowing grace, His unmerited favor and the free gift of, okay, wait a minute. Not only does grace become a free gift, it brings righteousness. And the free gift of righteousness, putting them into right standing with Him. See, I'm made right by the blood of Jesus. I'm not made right by anything else. I'm made right by the grace of God. I become righteous. Now, righteousness is not holiness. Don't ever think it's the same thing. Holiness is something we become. We can become holy. We are made right. Okay? Without holiness, no man can see God. So we have to live a holy life. We have to live right before God. We are walking in His righteousness. And the free gift of righteousness, putting them into right standing with Himself, reign. Oh, look at this. This will make you want to slap somebody. It's so good. Reign as kings in life. Right? Grace makes you reign as a king. Who was it? Shamrock. When he walked with a swagger, sort of. You know, he just kind of like, I don't know, I can't even do it. He said, you walk like you own the place. He said, I do, because my Father does. Because it makes me reign in life as a king. In life through one man. But see, it's not my life. It's His life that makes me to reign. It's His grace that makes me to reign in life. It is Him through Jesus Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, that I can walk in this life and overcome the world. How do you overcome the world? Even your faith. Right? That's what it says. That's what the Word says. So I can reign as a king. Why? Because my daddy's a king. The Bible says we are a royal priesthood. A chosen generation. See, that's who we are. See, grace makes you understand who you are. It all comes through faith, though, right? So there has to be that middle ground. I have grace because of faith, and I have faith because of grace. And I became a right standing with God that I can reign as a king. That I can walk with my head held high and the devil can't do nothing about it. Demons can come at you. In the name of Jesus, they hit the ground and scream. It's true. It's there. I've been there, done that. We'll do it again. They do. Because you have the authority over them. Because you're reigning as a king. It's not your authority. It's His. I'm just given that authority. I've been made right by God. So I have a right to reign in life. And not worry about a $450 lot bill. I mean, what does it matter? God's got it. Somebody can walk up and hand me $450 anytime and take care of things. Was I happy about a $450 light bill? No. I think I'm getting price gouged. You know, that's just the way it is. But I can reign in life. I'll tell you what. Let's go to verse 20 and 21. Let's go to 20. Let's finish this chapter. Verse 20. But then the law came in, only to expand and increase the trespass, making it more apparent and exciting opposition. But where sin increased and abounded, something, grace, has surpassed it. And increased the more and super abounded. See, grace will cause sin to flee out of your life.
Right.
Sin, with sin in your life, you can't be holy, but with grace, you can become holy. Amen? Because you're made right. Grace, it says, where sin increased and abounded. It's talking about the law. It's talking about what Jesus done because He fulfilled the law and destroyed our sin on the cross. But you got to ask for it. And God's grace, God's unmerited favor, grace, unmerited favor, has surpassed it and increased the more and superabounded. Verse 21. So that just as sin has reigned in death, sin caused death, right? Adam, we know Adam sinned, Eve sinned. It brought in death. Nothing had died before Adam and Eve sinned. Not an animal, not a plant. Not a bug, not a fly, not a gnat, not a mosquito. Nothing had died until Adam sinned. So just as sin had reigned in death, see, sin was reigning after Adam's sin. So grace, His unearned and undeserved favor, might reign also through righteousness, or right standing with God, which issues in eternal life through Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, our Lord. So we still reign in life. We reign over sin. We don't have to sin. You go, but we sin every day. No, you don't have to. You don't have to. You might, and you probably do, but you don't have to. We don't have to sin. You don't have to do it. Everybody says, oh, but you're going to. Well, not necessarily. You don't have to. If this is true, and I believe the Word of God, then grace superseded our sin, right? And when grace superseded it, it said that we might reign also through righteousness. So our right standing with God will supersede and destroy sin in our lives. It will. So grace destroys sin. Let's look at Romans 6:14. I'm going to prove the point. So we're just going to flip over a page or two. I guess we're roaming through Romans, right? chapter 6, verse 14. For sin shall not any longer exert dominion over you. Since now you are not under the law as slaves, but under what?
Grace.
So sin doesn't have dominion over us anymore. Because we're under grace as subjects. You are a subject of God, right? You're a subject of God's favor and mercy. Verse 15. What then are we to conclude? What are we to conclude? Well, this is the question. Shall we sin because we live not under the law but under God's favor and mercy? Certainly not. So grace does not give you a right to sin. That's what the Word says. But if you do, God's grace is sufficient to cover your sins, to wash it away, and to make you whole again. That's what repentance is about. Repentance is not always a 360, right? I almost said 180. That's not quite right. Actually, it should be a 180, not a 360. So if I'm walking this way, if I repent, I'm not going to turn around and go backwards. I'm going to be course corrected, right? So repentance is not a 180, a return around. Repentance is a course correction. It gets you out of the ditch and gets you back on the road. So grace covers those. When we repent, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we'll be saved, right? Then you go to John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then the next verse says, if we say we don't have sin, we maketh him a liar.
Right.
And the truth is not in us.
Right.
So I'm not saying we're perfect. I'm just saying we're covered.
Yeah.
And we need to try to strive. Paul said, I strive to reach perfection. I try. Perfection is just not being perfect, but doing the best you can and overcoming the world. Amen? So, grace destroys the dominion of sin. Verse 14 is what we just read. I'm going to read it. For sin shall not have dominion over you. This is New King James. For you're not under the law, but under grace. So sin didn't have dominion over us, so we don't have to sin. Romans 12:6. Let's go there just real quick. Told you it was in Romans through Romans. Having gifts. Anybody got gifts?
Yes.
Every one of us do. If you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, you got gifts.
Right.
You may name all nine of them off the top of your head without reading. Well, just checking. I can do it, but they won't be in order. I think I can name all nine. He said, having gifts, faculties, talents, and qualities that differ according to the grace given us, let us use them. What? By what? That differ according to grace that is given to us. The New King James, it says, having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If we prophesy, let us prophesy in the proportion of our faith. So the gifts of God, remember what the very first thing that we read, the Spirit of grace is the Holy Ghost, right? So who gives you the gifts to use? Holy Ghost. So the gifts come from grace. The gifts come from grace. So if I speak in tongues, it's grace. If I prophesy, it's grace. If I lay hands on the sick and they recover, it's because of grace through faith. It's all, everything that we do by grace is through faith. You cannot separate the two. Too many people, too many churches trying to separate grace and faith. You can't separate them. You're saved by grace through faith. You heal by grace through faith. You deliver by grace through faith. You prophesy by grace through faith. You do everything you do by grace through faith. So grace brings the gifts. So everything we do is both. Everything. Everything that we do for God is by both. It's by the grace of God through the faith of God that we have in God. Everything that we do.
Amen.
That's just phenomenal to me. So if everybody could get a hold of this, there'd be no faith camp or grace camp. Grace brings gifts. Man, we could talk on them for a while. But we're going to go on. I'm trying to get us out of here at a decent time. Do you know grace will make you rich? It will. Romans, 2 Corinthians 8:9. I ain't got all these marked out, so I'm just having to flip to them. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. There we go. I'm almost there. You're going to beat me there. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not mine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that through, I can't even read my own writing, and I can't even read the verse today. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that through he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. It's kind of a tongue twister, right? For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that through, for though that he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Now wait a minute. What do you mean he became poor? He left heaven, came to earth, and died for us. That's what he's talking about, becoming poor. Because actually Jesus had money on this earth. Because he had a house, and he could go buy food. So he wasn't broke. Right. But it said he became poor through the death of the cross, that through his poverty, we might be rich. Now, it's not talking about just money. Right. Money is important. You got to have money to survive. It's not talking about just money. He's talking about rich in hope, mercy, love, grace, faith, everything that you need. Everything that you need, he has given you. Everything that makes you prosper in this life is by grace. Everything. Right? And he wants us to be in health and prosper, right? That's what the word says. It's all by grace. It's all by grace. All things are done by grace through faith. Grace gives you strength. I'm not going to have to go there. If you want to write it down, it's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Grace gives you strength. How many of us need strength to go through the day some days? How about work gets crazy? And you got to have strength not to punch your boss in the mouth, right? No, you ain't never done that. You ain't never wanted to, have you, Jimmy? No, no. Especially when he texts you and goes, office. Not even come to the office or can you come here, please? Or just office. And you go, and you little snot-nosed kid? Because he's like 33, you know. He's the plant manager. And you go, okay, got to have strength, got to have a little grace. No, he's actually a good boss. I'm just like picking on him. We're trying to train him to do right. You know, you got to show love, right? Grace, by grace, you got to love. So grace gives us strength. It gives us strength to carry through the day. Now, some days it's rough. Some days you don't feel good. Some days Satan comes at you every chance he can. But you got grace and the strength to overcome it. The authority to speak the name of Jesus is given to us by grace. I mean, God's unmerited favor is on us. So I have the strength and the ability through the grace of God to put Satan under my feet. So we have strength in it. Then I want to go to Hebrews 4:16. I want to actually turn there. Anybody know where Hebrews is at? It is after Ephesians. It's right before James and Peter also. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Famous verse in the Bible. Everybody has quoted it. Let us, therefore, come boldly, right, yep, to the throne of grace. So when you're having a bad day, when Satan's running amok over you, when light bills come in that are way high, when you go spend $400 on groceries, when you got to pay a car payment and you don't have the money, let's go do what? Come boldly to the throne of grace. Come boldly. What? You mean we can actually come boldly to Christ? Come boldly to Him? Yeah, it's because of grace. Because you're made right. When he sees me, he sees the cross. When he sees me, he sees Jesus. Because the blood of Jesus is in me. When he sees me, he sees Holy Spirit. As we are wall to wall and full of the Holy Ghost, right? So every fiber of our being is Jesus's. So we can come boldly to him. It's not arrogantly. That's boldly. Knowing that we're going to obtain mercy. So grace not only allows us to come to the throne of God, but it gives us mercy when we get there. I get mercy when I go to the throne of God because I need mercy. And I get grace to help in time of need. So I have the grace to go boldly to God to obtain mercy and get more grace. Right? Grace not only is there, but grace abounds, it says in the Bible. Grace is abundant. It doesn't stop. It's through everything we have. Grace is where we need to be. Grace. Grace. God's grace. Isn't it something to have? It's something to know that all this is yours. It's a gift. It brings righteousness. It's abundance. It causes us to reign in life. It does everything that we need to do because of faith. Grace through faith. And then we can come boldly to God anytime. And you don't have to go, Lord Jesus, thou art the best. Thou knowest I need your love. You don't have to talk like that to Jesus. I mean, well, I did when I was Baptist. I'm not knocking Baptist, but I've learned better that I don't have to talk that way. I love my Baptist brothers and sisters. I'm just picking because I was once 20 years Baptist, so it's okay. It's all right. I love them. I reached over 600 people when I was one. So, or it's 600 or more. I don't know. I lost count. We had one thing right, buddy. We could preach salvation. And as an evangelist, that sure is helpful. Amen. That is very helpful. So I love my Baptist brothers and sisters in Christ because they know how to preach some salvation, buddy. Ain't nobody got it much better. We must be good stewards of this grace, though. The last thing I want to talk about. We must become good stewards of grace. Now, let's go to 1 Peter 4:10. And then we'll close with this. Hopefully. First Peter 4:10. If y'all can bring it up on the screen. As every man hath received the gift. Who's the gift?
Holy Spirit,
Jesus. All of us one. Even so, minister the same to one another. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Do y'all know what manifold means? I looked it up. So I'm like, manifold? That's on a car. It means excellent. The excellence. As good stewards of the excellence of the grace of God. We have to be stewards of this grace. What do stewards do? We share it. We help people. We tell them about the grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him, the next verse, verse 11. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, see, it tells us what we need to be doing. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things might be glorified. So I have to be a good steward of the grace of God that God will be glorified in me while I'm doing His work. We have to be good stewards. We can't take the grace of God lightly. We can't. We talk about grace. We walk in grace. We love grace, but we have to be a good steward of grace. We can't just willy-nilly act all amok and crazy about grace. We have to be good stewards so that we can do what the Word says. So if I speak, I speak as an oracle of God. You know what an oracle is? It's basically a mouthpiece of God. An oracle would, in the Bible and in before the Bible times or during Bible times and after medieval times, they would herald something. They would tell something. They were oracles. They would write it down and tell it. See, it says the grace of God makes us an oracle of God. To tell about the goodness of God. To tell about the manifold excellence of God. To tell about the grace of God. And it says, then we minister. Not only do we tell it, but then we minister. If any man minister. See, right now I'm being an oracle, right? Preaching is oracle, really. I mean, technically. But if I lay hands on the sick, then I'm ministering the grace of God. If I anoint you with oil, then I'm ministering the grace of God. See, as the ability which God gives me. See, God gives us the ability to do these things. Through what? Through Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit gives us every gift that we need because it is the Spirit of grace that lets me do what God wants me to do when He wants me to do it and have the ability to do it when I don't have the ability within myself, I have the ability within Him. Can y'all believe, y'all that know me, not everybody here knows me, that I was once super shy? I was. See, Julie laughing, like, I was super shy. I'm not kidding. And I took an F in school because I was so shy. I told the teacher, I will not do it. You'll get an F. I don't care. I'm not doing it. I was not going to hula hoop in front of the class. I'm serious. I got ugly with her. I told her I wasn't doing it. You can give me an F all day long. I'm not doing it.
What grade?
7th, 8th. Yeah, I had a sassy mouth. But I wasn't doing it. And I didn't do it. I was supposed to be in a spelling bee. I could spell good. Now I see. Yeah, I'm just iffy now on spelling. But, you know, that's most men. And I was really good in school at spelling. And I was supposed to be in a spelling bee. And I couldn't do it. Because I had to stand in front of people. I was just terrified of it. They wanted me to be in plays, and I couldn't do it. I was just like, mm-mm. And then God saved me. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'm saved. I'm good. Still a little shy. And then He said, you're going to go start preaching the gospel. No. I don't want to stand in front of the pulpit and preach. But God gives you the ability to do it. Well, I didn't have the ability. I wasn't an oracle. I was shy. I was. My first sermon was 10 minutes, which wasn't bad. Now you can't get me shut up in 30. Why? Because let any man speak, let him as oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it with the ability that God gives you. God will give you the ability to do everything you need to do for Him because of grace. Grace gives you the ability to do everything you need to do through faith for God. We just have to be good stewards of it. We just have to do it for Him. Not do it for vainglory, not do it for money, not do it for anything but for Him. Only do it because I love Him. I would not have pastored 20-something years if I didn't love God. Because church people are mean. Can be. Not everybody. Not here. Not here. My gosh, never. I walked in here 12 years ago, and I'm like, I will not make friends. That's what I said. I will not get close to anybody. That was my exact words, I promise you. I'd been church hurt so bad when I walked out of the last church I was pastoring that I almost walked away from the pulpit and said, y'all can have it. I'm done. Sandy said, she told me this. She said, if you take another church, I will not go with you. We had got hurt so bad. That's her words. She said, I won't go. Emerald and Hannah, we won't either. We're tired of it. We're tired of the church hurt. We're tired of being beat down. We're tired of it. I'm like, okay. So I started to walk away. I was this close. I mean, I had just almost quit. I'm like, Jerry Lacy came here. But back when I first started, and I will not ever forget it. He didn't know me from Adam. And he put his finger in my chest. Now I'm a big boy. Jerry Lacy ain't a little fellow either.
No, you're bigger than he is.
I'm bigger than him. And he walked up to me and put that finger in my chest and said, you... You got to get out of what you're thinking. You got to start connecting with the church. You got to connect. He said, if you don't ever connect here, you'll never connect anywhere else in this life. Wow. It brought me back to where I should have been. Because I was hurt so bad. I love God still. I just didn't like people. I'd quit witnessing. I was just hurt, but the grace of God brought one man here to tell me to straighten myself up and get back where I needed to be. That's grace. That's how much God loves us. He'll send somebody from Adrian, Michigan. Me and Jerry's been friends ever since. Great guy. Love him. Man, I love that guy. Sent somebody all the way from Adrian, Michigan, of all places, to a little town in a little place in Oklahoma, Mississippi, for one little preacher that was ready to walk away. That's grace. That is grace. That's what grace would do for you every time. Every time. And I hadn't looked back since. I think I know all y'all a little bit here. I think I've become friends with everybody and love everybody here. And connected here. So when we go to our next place, when God calls us to our next mission, other than just tent revivals and wherever God wants us to go right now, our next thing, I will be able to connect because of grace. Now, I don't usually share that part of my life. That's kind of a really downtrodden, beat down part of my life where I was not a happy person at that moment. But God, who is rich in mercy and full of grace, came in and changed me. Oh, I was still saved. I was still filled with the Holy Ghost. I just wasn't letting anything happen except what I wanted to do and not what He wanted. So I was not being a good steward of the grace of God. So I repented, changed, fell in love with the church, and the rest is history. God's good, and we have the grace of God.
Amen.
See, every one of us have a story. Every one of us has a story. Every one of us is either backed away, pulled back. At one time or another, most likely, every one of you here has done that. Not like to the extent that I did. And we're not being a good steward of the grace of God. I know this is not the most happy sermon there ever was. But we needed it. Because
yeah.
God is good. And His grace is what the word I'm going to leave you with. His grace is sufficient. What a word.
Yeah.
What a word. His grace is sufficient. That's all you need. That's all we need is the grace of God. Through faith. My goodness, God is good. The grace of God. He is sufficient. What time is it? I tell you what. If anybody here needs ministered to for any reason, I'd be glad to pray with you. Whether it's sickness or if you just need a boost of the Holy Ghost. Amen? I'll pray with you tonight. I'm here, me, Jay, there's a dozen, 20 people in here that can pray. If you need something, if you need to just get back in the grace of God, where God's grace is all sufficient for you, because it already is, you just got to understand it. You just got to get a hold of it, that His grace is sufficient. And that's all you need. And put a little faith to it. Grace through faith for everything that you do. Because His grace through faith is sufficient. His grace through faith saved you. His grace through you asking for the baptism of the Holy Ghost filled you. Grace, unmerited favor, unending love, unending power in the presence of God. That grace is what you need tonight. So if you need anything, just step up and come up. The music's playing. If not, we'll just dismiss and go home. It's whatever you need. God's grace is sufficient. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for allowing me to minister tonight this wonderful, wonderful message of grace. This message of Your unmerited favor toward us. This message of Your unending power, Your unending love. This message that is You, Father God, because You are grace, You are love, and You are everything that we need. We thank You, Father, for this. We love You so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you for coming.
Good job, brother.
Y'all are dismissed in the name of the Lord.